So I'm getting cherries at the market. It's stone fruit season, so I've just ordered a kilo of cherries. These are from Trentino, so quite far from Rome, but the local ones were kind of like watered down in flavor this year, and you know, it's about getting the stuff that has like real potency and flavor, I think.
Well, and you selected them by tasting them, right, Katie? Right.
Yeah. Allora, faccio anche delle pesche noci. Posso prendere la sola, le dispiace? Grazie. Great. I just have asked, can I pick out my own nectarines? And I've been given a bag and a yes.
Yes, this is a very unusual activity. I have never been so bold as Katie is right now, which is to say I would never touch the fruit with my own two hands.
I love picking fruit for myself. I come to this stall, which is very close to my house, all the time, and they're pretty cool to me, but if I am just like shopping in town and heading to like a random market, let's say I need to grab some produce, if they don't know you, they're going to try to give you the fruit that's rotten. That's not cool. So in addition to nectarines, I just got a bunch of pesche tabacchiere, which are donut peaches, and they're so good.
They look beautiful.
Smell them.
Smells
good. Allora. Prendo pure l'ananas. As anyone who spent significant time in Italy knows, pineapple is praise for its digestive qualities, and every single trattoria ever offers it as one of the desserts. I am terrible at cutting them up, so rather than getting the whole one, I'm getting the already pre-sliced one, which my vendor has all the time. And I'm surprised at 11 a.m., which is when we're here, there's any left, because normally, like, all the signore romane have already picked them.
Scooped up all the pre-prepared.
Grazie. You want to have a salad for lunch?
I would love to have a salad for lunch because we ate approximately 3 kilos of pasta last night.
True. So I think we'll get some of the insalata mista. Basically, when the produce doesn't look pretty enough to sell whole anymore, they chop it up and sell it as salad mix. Allora, io farei... Cioè, il peso non te lo so dire, però 4-5 manciate di insalata mista. Insalata mista is sold by the etto, or 100 grams, 50 cents for 100 grams. I have no idea what 100 grams looks like, so I'm just having him put 4 or 5 handfuls. Ottimo. He's put 4 handfuls, which looks like a nice healthy salad for 2.
Another way you can do it, which is nice, is just tell them what you're planning to make and for how many people, and usually the vendor will be pretty helpful with guiding you there.
Right. Totally. Allora, fra tutte queste pomodori, quali sono adatti per l'insalata?
Buoni sono questi.
Okay, so he's indicated of the many varieties of tomatoes, a type from Sicily.
Si chiamano
Costoluto. Costoluto. Okay, proveniente dalla parte di Sicilia, Pachino. Mm-hmm. So I find often people use the word Pachino to denote cherry tomatoes, which is incorrect. It's actually a production zone. Facciamo, cioè, per un'insalata per due? Faccio io? Che vado dietro? Okay. Just been given permission to go inside the stall to take my tomatoes. So they're pretty green, which doesn't necessarily mean that they're not ripe.
Some varieties will stay green well through their mature stage.
True.
At least a little bit.
Yeah. So I've gotten now 4. Let's do like 6. And these are super cute looking. They're ridged. They look almost like puckered. And they've got some stripey pattern on them. Grazie. Grazie. Il melone non so mai quale è pronto. Ce lo prende uno? Grazie, gentilissimo.
Grazie, Regi.
Welcome to Gola. the podcast about Italian food and culture. I'm Katie Parla, a Rome-based food and beverage writer, culinary guide, and cookbook author.
And I'm Danielle Caligari, a lecturer in Italian studies at UC Berkeley and a certified specialist of wine.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Katie, we are living our true Italian lifestyle today because not only are we greeting each other in the morning with the usual Italian style of having a coffee and a piece of fruit, but we are even doing the next step, taking it to the next level with a kind of typical everyday event of local market shopping.
Footnote, typical everyday event if you're 60 and over.
Well, we're going to talk about
that. I feel that way today.
It's hot and sticky, which is both a good day to go to the market and a bad day to go to the market. A good day because hot weather means that some of the most delicious fruits and vegetables are in season. And it means that everyone is out and about hawking their best quality products, at least in theory. A bad day because it means that when you return home laden with your delicious goods, you will also be sweaty, covered in dirt, and possibly stinking like trash.
I mean, occupational hazard, right? So I'm so excited that we got to go to the market together, above all because I bought a lot of stone fruit for us to eat. So we're going to be healthy, hydrated
for sure.
And I think it's really fun to go to my little market because there's like beef between the two stalls and you can feel the tension in the air. I just love the feeling of seeing the vendors who have wronged me.
You did almost get into a fight immediately upon our arrival at the market.
That was warranted. That was a justified argument. But we're in Monteverde Vecchio. We're not on like Mars. So it always shocks me when you encounter people who hear you speaking English and then proceed to speak about you in Italian. When you respond to them in Italian, they continue to pretend like you're not there and that they can't see you. I'm not invisible. I am a under 60-year-old market shopper in Monteverde. You will see me.
Well, this is bringing us right to the point, to the kind of big points that we want to make when it comes to market shopping in Italy, as far as it goes with our exploration is what I'm going for, of food and culture in Italy. Because the market is a place that most people, I think, associate with this kind of authentic, original, traditional lifestyle and something that's purely Italian. And if you want to live like Italians do, you shop at the local market every day. But it's also something that is held back and is sort of withering under the realities of everyday life in the 21st century in Italy.
Sure. And we did a deep dive into Roman market statistics, which I think are, you know, important to focus on. And as you know, when I talk about Italy, I often focus on Rome. But in this particular case, Rome has more public markets, 132, than any other city. Milan is way behind with just over 70. Yeah. So when we talk about markets in Italy, we can really use Rome as the example. And in a way, markets are the essence of Italian life because they followed, at least the form that we find them in, they've sort of followed Rome's growth from just after unification to the present. Each market is a mirror of its neighborhood, and each market thrives or doesn't because of how locals perceive it. So I'll give you an example. The Trionfale market in 2009 was developed not far from the Vatican after a lot of statistical analysis and consideration for why people shop at markets. And the number one reason people shop at markets, it's not quality. It's not even perceived value. It's convenience.
Yeah.
And this, in the same vein, is exactly why people shop at supermarkets. So if a supermarket is more convenient than a market, you're going to go there and vice versa. And the Trionfale market, which has a whopping 309 stalls, is on the ground floor of an office building. The basement is a parking garage. So when developing the space, the it was a private developer. Mm-hmm. They were considering probably the monetary potential of having spaces below for people in the neighborhood, but also possibly influenced by the fact that people will drive to the market if that's what works for them.
Yeah.
And when they go there, they're buying lots of stuff.
Yeah. It turns out people go to the market for just about anything if it is convenient to them, right? So one of the things that I think stands out when you get to Italy and spend some time here is that actually the market is as likely to be the place where you buy some of your kind of everyday goods that aren't food related, just as much as it is for food. So while people may look to their local market for fresh fruits and vegetables, cheeses, dried meats, all the kinds of things that we imagine when we think of fresh market shopping, they are also likely to be going there for things like socks and underwear, for little things that you need for the kitchen or around the house, light bulbs, batteries, other things that are equally available at a mega supermarket, like you said, Katie. And so the real choice is my local market going to provide me with a one-stop shopping experience? And is it going to be something that I can access easily either through the transport of my choice, so my local metro or bus or my car or scooter? Or is it going to be a place that I have close enough to my house that I can carry heavy bags home, et cetera?
Yeah. I mean, can I buy cherries and underpants in the same place? That's sort of guiding question most of in my life.
I was just about to say, I mean, Katie, it's one of the first things you ask yourself when you wake up. Like, where can I get cherries and underwear?
Yeah. When you go to the market, any market in Rome, you're going to be witnessing food commerce in action. But, you know, as Danielle stated, you also find like shoe stores and places that sell bath mats. And the markets that I think function better are the ones that provide that one-stop shopping experience. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons Trionfale is a thriving market. And the market that I have in Via Vascello near my house, it's functioning, it's open, but the stalls aren't open every day. I mean, all are closed on Sunday, but the fishmongers only open 4 days a week. The butcher stall, 5 days a week. The produce vendor, six, but there's a farmer that comes by twice a week. You know, it's one of these sort of sitting in this space because it doesn't offer a huge range of things that, you know, it's not always reliable and present.
Well, and that actually might be a good moment for us to zoom backwards and out towards the pre-modern or even ancient origins of the market in a place like Rome, especially, but also across Italy, because as you are noting with the market in your neighborhood, a kind of problem today is that the market isn't reliable in the way that one needs it to be in order to do all of their shopping there. The original iterations of markets were places where you could be sure not only that everything you needed was there, but when it would be there, that it would guarantee a certain level of quality, that it would permit you to access goods that wouldn't otherwise be available to you. And especially, particularly if we look back at medieval and even earlier than that moments historically, a place where you could be sure that you were getting what you paid for in a very literal way. If we turn back even just to before Italy was unified in the 1860s, we're already looking at a moment where we don't have a unified currency, we don't have a unified measuring system, we don't even have unified calendars. I think we were just joking about this last night, Katie, that the way that people kept times and dates were different across Europe and especially across the world. And as a result of that, a market could be a place where you could understand quantities and qualities according to a system that was established by usually the local community or in some cases the city state or kind of local government, whatever moment we kind of choose to zoom in on, would have provided a guide and would have made sure that people adhered to that, to those codes of conduct in terms of how much you got for a certain price, what quality assurances were in place and where people were allowed to have, you know, kind of a healthy competition also.
Sure. And on the health note, even though all of these things were going on, it's not as though there was strict hygienic regulation. Often the local authorities couldn't really manage prices and supply, which would lead to, you know, price increases, prices plummeting depending on the product, which is one of the sort of catalysts for creating the wholesale markets in cities of Italy after unification, so that there is, you know, a litany of things that authorities are looking after in order to guarantee that both market vendors as well as consumers are having this fair commercial exchange.
Yeah, it's something that I think also highlights the face-to-face interaction that's a part of a market and that is not as present for us when we go to even within Italy to a supermarket or especially outside of Italy to what is increasingly becoming also online shopping experiences, even for fresh items. So when it comes to going to the market, you are going to have these kinds of negotiations happening in advance of people bringing their goods to the market, as you're pointing out, Katie, and then also sort of in situ in the moment, negotiating as you move your way through purchasing things. And that's kind of a curious feeling for people who aren't used to that. I think particularly Americans, there's no real space for negotiation, whereas a standard part of the of market shopping anywhere in Italy would be the understanding that as you buy more or as you frequent a specific vendor more often, you would have price adjustments that reflect a relationship.
Definitely. And it doesn't take long to become a regular customer at a stall. And we were just down in the Via Vascello market and the vendor didn't have exact change or asked if we had, you know, a euro to round things off. We didn't. He said, just give me the money the next time you see me. I am not proud of this, but I leave my apartment without my wallet about 50% of the time. It's very common for me to get to the market, do a whole shopping excursion, and then realize I don't have any cash. And because I built a rapport and established myself as an absent-minded person, my market vendor will just say, like, you know, get me back tomorrow.
Yeah, he knows where you live, you know where he lives, right?
That's right.
It's one of these things where you're both part of a community, and so there's really no need to have a kind of outside legislation of that because you're going to encounter each other. And if you were to not pay him back, he would stop selling to you, and so would the other vendors at that market, and you would be excluded from this mini economy that's part of your neighborhood. On the other hand, you might also gain something from that relationship that's not just financial, obviously, or at least not related to money more broadly, something like a level of trust that you had as we heard you selecting fruit that would guide you to better quality products, not just because you're not getting something that's a crappy version of what you asked for, but because he might say to you, actually, I, as an expert of fruit, suggesting that you select a different kind of peach or a different kind of tomato, or based on what you're planning on making or when you're going to eat it, this is the most appropriate choice.
So. Sure. And with this confidenza, as we call it here, you also have the privilege of picking out your own stuff, actually putting your mitts on the produce and selecting fruit items yourself rather than allowing the vendor to do it, which can sometimes lead to a few like little rotten apples ending up in your bag.
Well, I'm going to fight the other side of this because it is important in any case, if you haven't spent time in Italy, to understand that you should not touch the fruit directly, at least initially. If you ask permission and they give it to you, that's great. But even in the supermarket, it's considered very poor taste to use your bare hands to pick fruit. Many of you, of our listeners, will have at least had the experience of shopping here and have been reprimanded probably for going hands first into a basket of tomatoes. And the plastic glove is the standard if you're in a supermarket environment. But at the local market, it's usually up to the vendor to select for you. Now, I will often say, no, I don't want that one. I want that one, while, or, you know, watch carefully. Or as you did today also, Katie, tell them that I want to taste something before I start buying a kilo of whatever the product is, to make sure that I feel that the quality is up to snuff. But as far as making sure that you're picking things that aren't rotten, you must make bold like Katie if you want to be that serious about it.
Yeah, and I mean, I learned all this just by observation, and my teachers were other market goers, mainly like literally 50% of market goers in Rome are 60 and up.
And women.
Oh, for sure. I've got the Italian or Roman Mercato Rionale statistics right here. And 29% of market shoppers are men, while 71% are women. Meanwhile, most shoppers are 61 and up, and a good 3/4 of market vendors are 46 and up. Just 4% are between 15 and 30 years old.
That makes sense also, because if you think about how somebody is running a household, it's going to skew towards the late 40s and up when it comes to the person who's likely shopping, especially in a significant amount for a family. Italians still, on the whole, tend to partner up and start families and run households later in life than Americans do on the average. And that means that most of the people keeping house are older than you might expect. And they, of course, still skew toward the female when it comes to who's in charge of the kitchen more than anything else.
Sure. And they also skew towards people who don't work. Pensionati and casalinga, in other words, people who are retired or housewives or husbands, the unemployed account for 4% of market shoppers, whereas housewives and husbands, 18%, and pensioners, 42%.
Yeah. So you're looking at a space that is now strongly colored by not only age and gender, but also by the likelihood of having free time during the day. Because like anywhere else in the world, the busier you are, the more likely you are to go to a supermarket or eventually to an online provider that will allow you to do your shopping in the most convenient and least time consuming way in the midst of a long, busy work day and week. On the other hand, there is something that is maintained, I think, when it comes to the market that may not be an everyday thing anymore, but often once a week, people will still visit the market in their neighborhood because of the fact that it's a space to exchange and be present with your local community.
Yeah, and that once a week, at least anecdotally, is a Saturday when pensioner, employed person, or otherwise, you're generally free during the market hours. And in Rome, market hours tend to be like 8-ish to 1 or 2-ish, which naturally conflict with traditional business hours.
Right, exactly. Especially in Rome, if you're meant to be in the office around 9 o'clock, you're almost certainly leaving your house by 8 the latest, because it's unlikely that you manage to commute door to door in less than about an hour. And obviously 1 p.m. is pretty tight, even if you're taking your lunch break, because again, Italians are going to take lunch at the earliest at 1 o'clock. So you're missing market hours if you're in the office. If instead you're at home, you're going to be able to enjoy it on a daily basis. And if not, you may find that a weekend market becomes the one place where everybody is kind of crossing paths and enjoying the fruits of their local producers, or at least the people who have been providing to that neighborhood for years. And on the weekends also, I think the markets tend to be richer in these, at least local ones. I don't know if you find that Saturday's market is fuller than usual.
Definitely. And, you know, I actually have two markets in my neighborhood. I happen to go to the one that's one block from my apartment when I want to get something quick. If I want to do a more intensive shopping with a wider variety of fish products and a butcher that I like, and then even some farm stalls, which aren't the norm, I'll head to the one on the other side of the church down via Carini. But, you know, that's, I think, a sort of exception to the rule. I mean, there are 130 some odd markets in Rome. generally there's one per neighborhood, and Monteverde Vecchio happens to have two.
Yeah, well, and then there are the two kinds, I think, that we're describing here. One being the real neighborhood market, where you have ultimately maybe a dozen stalls maximum that are all close together on an area of street that's very much in the middle of the neighborhood and out there happening nondescriptly in its way, versus Triunfale or some of the other markets, which have, I think, more than anything else, recreated what would have been a pre-modern market space, a place where there are dozens or hundreds of market stalls, a place that is always dedicated to the market. The stalls might not be open, but they don't get lifted up and taken away or, kind of closed down completely. They're there, they're operating on a regular basis, and they're acting as the place to go for all goods that you need. So you have both things that still exist here, and they're competing at the same time with real big American-style supermarkets too. So it's an interesting thing to see, because even as I think we're describing these kinds of spaces as becoming increasingly limited and aging out of sort of reasonable use, they're also managing to carve out more nuance in a way, so that you have, as you described already, Katie, a place where you'll run downstairs to grab a bag of salad and some fresh fruit for just this afternoon, versus your larger local market where you might do more shopping for yourself, versus a huge city market that brings not just the kinds of goods that you might need for everyday life and eating and cooking, but also all kinds of things that are just exciting to have available.
Right. And, we don't have this in Monteverde Vecchio, but I have observed in other markets, due to the older demographic moving on, let's say, what a euphemism for dying out, you have markets that have to be flexible with what they offer. And the Mercato Triunfale and the Mercato di Testaccio are now offering prepared foods, mm-hmm. like takeaway stalls that serve more elaborate meals than just a slice of pizza or a sandwich in order to entice a younger crowd. The younger crowd being university students, young professionals who don't necessarily shop at the other stalls for raw ingredients, but are in fact frequenting, these very selected prepared food stalls.
Yeah, and I think maybe one other thing to mention is, a kind of comment on cost, because in the U.S., and I mentioned this because I think it's an important contrast, in the U.S., farmers markets, and to use the term that I think evokes it most of all, tend to be hyper-specialized, very precious and expensive. And the idea is that you're going there and you're getting really high quality goods. And so you're willing to pay a huge premium. And whether or not that's the case, that's sort of how the price structure works. And to some extent, it becomes exclusionary as a result of that. I know I'm in Berkeley, the Berkeley Farmers Market is beautiful and has amazing and delicious products, but it is strikingly expensive. I mean, you can't do a regular shopping. I cannot on a public university professor's salary is not adequate to sustain that kind of luxury, basically. Whereas, as you're mentioning, Katie, with markets that are specifically gearing themselves toward university students or young professionals here, they're still holding on to this kind of one last really important pillar of market shopping, which is that it's not expensive. It should be affordable. It has to be affordable to exist in the neighborhood, because otherwise, even before the availability of supermarket shopping or online shopping, people would simply go elsewhere if the prices felt untenable.
Absolutely.
So, when we go out shopping, as we did this morning, to fill up our totes, ideally the Food of the Italian South specially designed tote with fruits and vegetables from the neighborhood, we're also doing that in a kind of cost-effective and cost-conscious way. We're saying, okay, we'll probably have dinner out tonight, so we'll buy a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables from our local vendors here, knowing that we won't spend much money and we'll have something really helpful in addition. So
definitely. And, you know, it's shocking how affordable produce is, with the exception of cherries, which are slowly causing my bank account to dwindle.
It's possible it's the quantity more than the per hecto cost, because I think in the 24-ish hours that I've been here, you've consumed almost a kilo, and I tried to have like two, but I don't think I made a dent.
I really like cherries.
Well, everybody who comes to Italy should try shopping at the market, not only because it is a classic experience and because it's a wonderful way to enjoy local and fresh products, but also for this reason that I think we started out with, which is that it's about being in the public space. It's about meeting people, interacting, being present, enjoying what it means to actually be in a place and not simply have a replicated or some attempt at creating some kind of Italianness. It's very much of the moment, and you get to feel what it might be to live in a different place and have relationships with local people in a community where people are not trying to show off or look cool or Instagram their plate of pasta, but are just grabbing some stuff for dinner that night.
Yeah. And on that note, buona spesa.
Buona spesa. And while you're shopping, why not leave one of your AirPods in and listen to an episode of Gola? You can also spend a few minutes in between buying peaches and cherries to give us a 5-star rating, to subscribe, to tell your friends to start listening to Gola, and to follow us. I'm at Dr. Caligari's Cabinet. And Katie, where can I find you?
I'm at Katie Parla on all social media platforms.